days a year.
Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of AHA Presents About Education. I'm Neil Kreisel and I'm your host every week right here on AM 1290, repeated at 10, and on Saturdays at 4. We're brought to you by Montecito Bank and Trust, proudly serving our communities and their financial needs for over 40 years. Pierre LaFond, Wendy Foster, offering fine clothes, good food, and vintage wines. Habitat for Humanity, building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. And CSU Channel Islands, no matter which of their academic programs you choose, you will be at the center of your educational experience. And today we're fortunate to have Patricia Zeta, clinical psychology PhD, who works for the Santa Barbara Unified School District in their suicide prevention program, and Gina Carvalho, Director of Communications for the Glendon Association and one of the original founders and current managing director of the Santa Barbara Response Network. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
So before we begin, tell us a little bit, first of all, what is the Glendon Association? Is this a homeowners association?
Or? It's sort of like that. We're a mental health nonprofit. We do education, research, and training in the broad spectrum of mental health. We have a primary focus on suicide prevention and violence prevention, and have done extensive research into the leading factors that lead to those social ills, or what we have plaguing our society. And we've been in existence for 35 years.
And you're in Santa Barbara?
We are in Santa Barbara, but we're national and international. We do training all over the world and nationally as well. We were founded in Los Angeles on Glendon Avenue, which is near UCSB. Since the name, very creative, the Glendon Association.
You mean next to UCLA.
Yeah, very close to UCLA. I apologize. I'm in the wrong city.
Right.
But we've been working in the field. We also do a lot of work with families and children. So, and more as a training entity, an educational entity, than as direct service. And then we train clinicians like Patricia and others to understand suicide prevention.
So, you're willing to give your age? You were one of the founders 35 years ago?
Oh, my God. It was about 200 years ago we founded this association, and it's still going strong. But you know, we founded the Santa Barbara Response Network 9 years ago.
I had a friend when I was living in New York who always gave her age as 10 years older than she was in order for people to say, you look great.
I think that's a good strategy.
So for someone who's 200 years old, you look terrific.
Yeah. I look good.
Yeah, you look good. So the Santa Barbara Response Network, you work there also. You're the director of that program. And I think we've actually had a guest on from that.
Yeah.
And how is that program related to Glendon?
To Glendon. About 9 years ago, we had what's called in the field of suicide a suicide cluster contagion. And Glendon, having that expertise, was brought to the table with all the leading mental health agencies and law enforcement agencies to try to stop what was going on. Glendon was contacted some of our suicide experts in this area and brought someone from the Child Traumatic Stress Institute, Dr. Robert Macy, here to train the city. One of the goals from that was to start a nonprofit that would have volunteers. I'm a volunteer, as are all our people involved with the network. Volunteers to respond and offer psychological first aid in the aftermath of any trauma in our community. We're a very unique and precious entity, I think. So Glendon was at the table and then continued, and I continue to keep that nonprofit alive, and it's valuable work.
And you work together with the Santa Barbara Unified School District. And so, and you're full-time at the Unified Schools?
No, in fact, I was also a volunteer for the SOS program, which works, you know, with the SBRN to help the Santa Barbara Unified School District.
And suicide is in a way inexplicable. On the other hand, it's becoming more common. And The whole idea of these clusters, you know, I just read a book, which is a little bit off topic, called Yellow Girl. I don't know, Jello Girl, I'm sorry. Jello Girl. It's about this woman who was the third generational heir of the Jello people. And there was a cluster of women in her community when she was growing up that had spontaneous, jerky motions, and anyway, they found after all the research that, you know, when you have a group of people that are closely knit together, there is a propensity to sometimes take on the same, you know, neurotic characteristics. Mm-hmm. So it's not just suicide, I guess. I don't know your field, but
yes, well, suicide plays a big role because, you know, it just brings a lot of unresolved issues for, you know, the peers that when they're exposed to that. So it does have a big influence, and it can spark some triggers for the, you know, for adolescents especially.
So how do you know, if you're working in a school, how do you get the word out that someone's in trouble?
As far as, you know, helping them?
Well, forget about helping them. The first question is, whenever you hear, sometimes, not whenever, but a lot of the times you hear about suicide, you hear people say, I don't understand it. He or she was so happy. How do you get a tip-off, if you will, that somebody's in need of help?
So, let's say, well, within the schools, teenagers tend to, you know, have very private lives and within their groups. So when you hear someone that is in trouble, you know, if we are as professionals here, we tend to seek out and talk to them. Hopefully they will come. Sometimes the friends will bring them, which has happened a few times. And then that, as one gets help, the others kind of get to know and get to maybe be influenced by that and seek help themselves.
The whole issue of the stigma of mental health in general has got to be a problem, because if there's a sense that it's bad to have an issue that needs some type of psychological support, there are still the stigma that makes people not want to deal with it. And I guess that sort of makes the challenge even more difficult to deal with.
Yes. Yeah. And that's one of... So that's one of the reasons why the SOS program was so successful. I think it was because it kind of brought to light a problem that wasn't really talked about. And they provided videos which helped the students see, you know, with the reality. There are a lot of people actually in need of help, especially in this age, and kind of brought to light, you know, the need for help.
How much of a cause is bullying? Is bullying a real factor in pushing people over the edge?
It definitely has a big effect. We can see, especially in cyberbullying nowadays. You know, we see a lot more of that than, you know, the person-to-person bullying like we used to see.
Isn't it interesting that you see kids who were bullied either commit suicide or they go into a classroom with a gun blazing? It's sort of two ends of the spectrum. There's, you know, the pathology may be the same, but the reaction is so different. In fact, AHA was founded 20 years ago after the Columbine shooting as a way of dealing with the angst that all teenagers go through and the bullying that happens in the schools.
I think you're making a very valid point, and I think that in the schools, when you were asking what to look for, how do you identify that a kid might be at risk? And I think that people need to really pay attention, parents and teachers, to any behavior change that seems kind of unusual for your child, like sleeping too much, sleeping too little, they're dressing differently, they're seeming depressed, they're seeming down. Really talk to them. Take the time. It's very important to take anything seriously that you see as a red flag.
Yeah, that assumes that you as a parent are able to see. One of the other problems is educating parents about what to
Absolutely.
Look for. And,
Absolutely.
There's a lot of denial that takes place through all of us in this culture.
Yeah.
When the school takes on this program, is that something that every school is doing, or are we here in Santa Barbara lucky to have somebody that gets on board and helps with suicide
prevention? We are very fortunate. A lot of schools and school districts don't want to tackle the subject. We are very fortunate. The Signs of Suicide, SOS, as Patricia mentioned, is a very solid research-based program that has been implemented in some schools. And we are fortunate that our school district is taking this on and doing the assessment and then doing the follow-up treatment if needed for children who are seen as possibly needing more help. And also, back to your point about mental health, you're absolutely right. The stigma is crucial. We have to talk about everything openly. And it doesn't matter if you think you're stepping the line and ask, it's better to ask. Mm-hmm. It's better to keep it out of the shadows. Mm-hmm. Because the more that people speak about it, the less it brings it out of that, oh, my God. Because think about it as a broken bone. You talk about somebody who's got a cast. If somebody has an issue that they're feeling inside, that's as important.
And the kids get that information from other kids from the internet.
Absolutely.
People don't tell their parents, but they'll post it. Some of the things these kids post are unbelievable, but you don't see it until it's too late. You're listening to AHA Presents on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
Habitat for Humanity of Southern Santa Barbara County is building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. Habitat has completed construction on 19 new homes for affordable homeownership. We'll build 3 new affordable homes this spring and has repaired over 35 homes through the A Brush with Kindness program. To learn more about how you can support Habitat by volunteering, donating, or shopping at the Habitat Restore, visit sbhabitat.org or call 692-2226.
Celebrating 50 years of serving loyal regular guests and first-time visitors, the Pierre Lafond Market and Deli invites you to enjoy their huge selection of fresh-baked sweets, cookies, carrot cake, muffins, and the famous farm cake, granola, Oreo popcorn, wine cake, homemade soups, and the popular fresh juice bar. Or get a coffee drink or fresh-squeezed juice and peruse the famous wall of greeting cards at the Pierre Lafond Market and Deli. Open 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily in the Plaza del Sol, Montecito Village.
The Central Coast may seem laid back, but when it's time to work, no one works harder, including the bank that's grown up here. Montecito Bank and Trust offers customized lending and banking for all businesses, big and small. It's harder than offering one-size-fits-all solutions, but it's the right thing to do. And here, getting things right is a way of life. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
Santa Barbara residents interested in a four-year degree have more than one choice. CSU Channel Islands is a four-year accredited university offering more than 30 academic programs that are interdisciplinary, multicultural, and centered on you, the student. Your professors are accessible mentors who go above and beyond to help you pursue an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate to advance your career. CSU Channel Islands is affordable and financial aid is available with campuses in Thousand Oaks and Goleta. Call CSU Channel Islands at 805-437-8520 or online at csuci.edu.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, using innovative social-emotional learning and character building to help teens. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here today with Patricia Zeta, a Santa Barbara Unified School District's suicide prevention expert. She's a doctor of clinical psychology, and Gina Carvalho, who is Director of Communications for the Glendon Association and one of the original founders and current managing director of the Santa Barbara Response Network. You know, we're not going to have time to talk if I have to give your titles each time we come back. You guys are so many things you got going on here. It's tough to, you know, say hi. It's just Patricia and Gina. Other than having somebody come and say, I'm at risk, or the parent saying I'm at risk, or a student saying I'm at risk, what are the things you can look for that are signs?
So it's for teenagers, you may want to look for some behavioral signs that are, you know, maybe not so obvious, because a lot of parents don't really understand or don't really know what really is being a teenager and having a mental health problem. And it's because of all the changes and all that hormonal changes going on. So for parents, I mean, I have two teenagers myself, and I'm always, you know, checking in on them. I'm always trying to see if there is, if they need anything or, but mostly if you observe, you know, a lot of isolation, which is part of being a teenager, but that is not only within the family, but on around the outside world, from their peers, maybe the school performance is a big one. If they have a decrease in school performance, maybe problems with attention and concentration that are out of the ordinary, a lot of resistance from going to school or avoiding school altogether, that is, you know, too obvious, aggression, disobedience, that oppositional, too much of that, sometimes sadness, crying, that is not normal, and neglect, because in the teenage years you can see that they're really focused on appearances. It's very important. So when you see a teenager starting to neglect their hygiene, you know, their personal appearance, that's also a red flag that you need to look for. And of course, substance abuse, it's important to pay attention. You notice when you speak to them, pay attention if you notice something unusual. And there are so many signs, but these are some of the most obvious ones that I can think of.
One of the problems is a lot of them are signs of every teen.
I know.
That's exactly the problem. You know, the teens have, it's a tough life to being a teen.
It is very difficult to be a teen, especially in this time.
Yeah.
But
I'm glad I didn't know that when I was a teen. It's much easier now that I can
know.
Look back.
Well, but like I said, it's important to know if something is changed abruptly. And, you know, as a parent, you'll be able to notice something that is not going right. And we have that, you know, natural ability to notice something is not right. So, you know, just pay attention to that.
And what about the getting back to bullying? If somebody is constantly bullied, the teacher could use some techniques to stop them. But is that a sign that if that kid is consistently bullied, that we ought to watch out for just not just making him or her feel better about being bullied, but there could be something deeper going on? I mean, is that such a hot spot that we need to take a hard look at that?
Yeah. I really do think we do. And also the people who are observing the bullying are also at risk, because there's the bystander behavior of observing this child being bullied or this young person being bullied and not doing anything. But I do think we need to observe, because it's not just the bully, the person being bullied, it's the bully. What are they acting out? What's going on in their home? What are they looking for? Why are they manifesting this behavior? And the child being bullied, what are, you know, what's that saying to them about them as a person? That's an incredibly demeaning and ridiculing effect on their sense of self. And you'll see that in our culture, there's certain traits that people bully. If a boy is not a boy, but could be manifesting some behaviors that may, his identity, his sexual identity. A lot of kids that are going through the phase of a sexual identity crisis or questioning their identity are often at high risk for suicide and bullying. So we have to be very sensitive as parents and as people to make that child feel like they also are cared about and belong and are part of.
That's why I like the whole restorative justice initiatives that are taking place, because it deals not just with the victim, it deals with the perpetrator. Because if you don't get it at that level, you know, that, and the perpetrator could have all kinds of issues that are going to cause that person to have problems, you know, whether it's guilt or whether they're just miserable in general.
Absolutely.
So you really need to deal with both sides, not just punish one. You mentioned identity. The LGBT
Q
population must be particularly at risk. And, you know, one of the things that was shocking to me, one of the reasons I love Santa Barbara as a newcomer, I've been here 19 years, is it's such a great, you know, the People's Republic of Santa Barbara. Everyone's liberal, everybody's. So I had two lesbian high school kids from Santa Barbara High on a year ago. And I said, well, isn't it great to be, you know, going through this at Santa Barbara High, because it's perfect? She said, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. And around the air, she said, we get bullied all the time. In fact, one person accused me of not really being a lesbian, just trying to get attention. And I'm thinking, wow, if it's going on here, you know, can you imagine what it must be going on across the country?
So
do we have the ability, as, you know, is that we're asking the teachers to do everything, to learn how to teach Common Core, how to identify bullying, how to identify suicide. Is that, do we need more clinical psychologists in high schools?
Well, I wish. But I think there is room, absolutely, for more mental health practitioners in the school system, maybe not directly, maybe indirectly, maybe helping the teachers, because I know that when they are in crisis, they really need some help to know how to deal with 30 plus kids in the classroom and know how to monitor that, because then themselves have difficulty knowing what to do, as they should.
And one of the most devastating things for my son back when he was a kid in New York was a suicide of his favorite teacher, which, you know, we were so angry. You know, it's so interesting. We were just, rather than have compassion for the teacher, which I'm sure we did in some level, we were mad at her because she just did it. And the kids were just totally, for the rest of the year, they were just horrified. Suicide, I guess, is a violent crime for the people that remain.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, I mean, teachers need help, too.
They do need help. They do need help. We need definitely to bring more, counselors. We need to bring more mental health professionals to the whole environment. The school environment needs to have, not only to help break the stigma, to have the availability for the children who need. Because at times, they are so overwhelmed with students that they have to put them on the wait list. And some of these kids don't have time. They are, they're having some serious issues and they want to be seen, they want to be...
How many are you in the Santa Barbara Unified School District?
That's a good question. I'm not quite sure.
I mean, is it dozens and dozens or is it two of you?
Very few. And also, there are other mental health services, that have their presence there, like the drug and alcohol people, family service agency. There are other counselors in our schools that are offering support besides the psychologists.
Mm-hmm. And when you go into a school, the teachers are welcoming and interested, right? They don't feel, oh, my God, it's another seminar. Are they?
Well, no, not really. I think they are very glad to have extra help, to have someone that can support, the children that they are dealing with daily, and they see the need. And so I think that they're very fortunate and very grateful to have additional help.
You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on the Santa Barbara News Press radio station. We'll be right back.
Habitat for Humanity of Southern Santa Barbara County is building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. Habitat has completed construction on 19 new homes for affordable homeownership. We'll build 3 new affordable homes this spring and has repaired over 35 homes through the A Brush with Kindness program. To learn more about how you can support Habitat by volunteering, donating, or shopping at the Habitat Restore, visit sbhabitat.org or call 692-2226.
You're invited to dine indoors or on the secluded garden patio, the sunny patio, or the covered creekside patio with fireplace at Pierre Lafond's Montecito Wine Bistro, where you'll enjoy the popular pizzas and many other dishes from the wood-burning oven, daily specials from Chef Victor, and selections from the elevated wine menu featuring Lafond and Santa Barbara Winery wines. Open daily at 11 for lunch, wine, cocktails, dinner, incredible desserts, and a daily happy hour from 3 to 6 with very unique appetizers in the Plaza del Sol, Montecito Village.
What's that?
This? The newest online business banking around.
Can you initiate wires and approve transfers?
Yes.
Pay bills?
Check.
Cash management?
Of course.
All business, all online, all on your phone?
You bet. My computer, too. It's Montecito Bank and Trust's new business online banking. It works as hard as I do.
Huh. Montecito Bank and Trust.
You got it. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
Santa Barbara residents interested in a four-year degree have more than one choice. CSU Channel Islands is a four-year accredited university offering more than 30 academic programs that are interdisciplinary, multicultural, and centered on you, the student. Your professors are accessible mentors who go above and beyond to help you pursue an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate to advance your career. Programs and workshops in classroom, online, with campuses in Thousand Oaks and Goleta. Call CSU Channel Islands at 805-437-8520 or online at csuci.edu.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, Improving Attitude, Creating Social Harmony, Bridging the Achievement Gap for Teens. I'm Neil Kreisel, and I'm here with Patricia Zadeh, Doctor of Clinical Psychology and a therapist at the Santa Barbara Unified School District Suicide Prevention Program, and Gina Carvalho, who is a Director of Communications for the Glendon Association and one of the original founders and current Managing Director of the Santa Barbara Response Network. This is really interesting. Both of you speak Portuguese. Mm-hmm. So can we run the second half of our show in Portuguese?
Por que não?
Por que não? Sim.
I know that. Is that?
Sim.
Sim. So it's interesting. We like to talk about how guests got involved in what they got involved in. And here you two come from totally different places. You speak Portuguese because you come from Portugal, and you're from Brazil. So tell me, first, Patricia, how did you get involved in psychology? Was it when you were still living in Brazil?
Yes, it was. Well, I originally graduated with my bachelor's in business, but my plan was to do psychology. Unfortunately, I couldn't do it at the time. I was working in a bank, and they said that if you switch majors, you'll be fired. Mm-hmm. So I ended up waiting until I could, pursue my dream, which was to study psychology.
And this is in Brazil?
This was in Brazil. So then when I came here, I started looking into it but I've been here 25 years. I think I waited a little bit too long to do it, but...
And where did you go to school? Did you go to school in Santa Barbara?
I did go to school in Santa Barbara. So I went for my master's at Antioch University. Mm-hmm. And I liked it so much that I continued to my doctorate. So I think I'm the longest student Antioch ever had.
You just got here from Portugal. I can tell from the accent.
I immigrated when I was six to Canada. I'm actually Canadian.
You speak very good for Canadian,
don't I?
I just came back from a Canadian vacation. Hey. And I have a slight Canadian accent now.
I can tell.
Yeah. So go ahead. So you came from Canada.
Yeah, and we immigrated. So I'm an immigrant. So my interest in mental health was always that as an immigrant, I always did feel as an outsider. I was bullied. I did look different. I didn't kind of fit in. So I was always very interested and had the interest in helping others. And I started working with kids when I was 16. So I'm very old now, and I've been doing that. So I worked as, like, in the Boys and Girls Club, and I just always was doing that kind of work. And then got my degree in psychology and the performing arts. So I have a performing arts background. And so I used that to help kids. And I didn't really want to have my own practice. So the area of communications and outreach and bringing people together and creating educational programs and outreach programs, that's my passion. I like to see things come to life in a community, in a school. So I'm working with people like Patricia who have the clinical skills, and I help to sort of manifest what their programs are, what can happen in the schools and other places. So it came from a very personal place in me to help, especially young people.
So both of you are immigrants. I guess you can imagine even more than I can what it must be like to be living in Santa Barbara and worried that when you come home, your parents will not be home. That must be another level, a layer of anxiety that is really impossible to think about.
Yes, and actually, The Santa Barbara Response Network is doing a very, very broad immigration support program that we have under our umbrella. And we're working with clergy. We're very involved. We've created sanctuary places where families can go if they're scared. We're doing a lot of psychological support to the families. So SBRN, because our mission is to help people who are traumatized, is actually very involved with what's going on in our community. So if people want more information, they can certainly contact me. We've been working with, we meet at the Trinity Church every week to see what we can do to help these families. Yes, there's a lot of trauma and fear.
Yes, and I do remember that a few months ago when you were recruiting bilingual psychologists and therapists to help, we came forward, and I was in contact with several therapists in town to see how could we help these families, because there's so much trauma. I personally know some families that were separated, and you can see the devastation in these kids, and there is no words to describe what happens to those families.
And you're I see working with mindfulness as a tool. And we had a guest on recently and talked about mindfulness, and I went home and tried to be mindful, but I couldn't concentrate. So I guess it's not easy to have something that really does work become part of yourself if you have issues. So tell us a little bit about how mindfulness can be used.
So in mindfulness, we have to, so first of all, mindfulness sounds easy, like you said, but once you don't know how to practice, we need to introduce it the definition is really a non-judgmental awareness, and not only to your emotional state, but your physical and your mental, and being able to be present at that moment and know what's really going on in your body, and be able to control your thoughts in the process and not let your thoughts control you so that you don't feel the emotions that follow. So to be able to help the teenagers that we were encountering, there was this call for additional support, and not only from the counseling center, but in a level beyond that, like maybe below, to help support these teenagers with something else, and teaching them how to monitor this emotional dysregulation that may come. It comes with age, it comes with that, the environment that they're living. So, and mindfulness has shown to reduce stress, anxiety, depression, bad behaviors, improve sleep, and improve learning in teenagers. There's research after research on showing how that actually helps. So that's when we decided to let's put together something to maybe we can bring into the school system that it's an additional support besides the counseling centers.
And kids today love computers, and I guess one of the things that makes it possible to practice would be computer. There are computer programs, aren't there, that help you with mindfulness?
Absolutely. There are apps that you can have on your phone that can help. You can use those anytime, anywhere. There are computer programs, and there are videos on YouTube, for example, to teach them guided meditation and mindfulness. But the core of this training that we're trying to implement in the schools is also to bring compassion in the process, not just mindfulness. It's mindfulness and compassion where they learn to be empathetic and to relate better to their peers so that bullying goes,
Can you teach empathy? If someone is not empathetic at 17, is it hopeless?
No, absolutely not. Yes, you can. You can teach them through altruism, teaching them how to
Yeah, and also all the research that's been done on neuroplasticity, the brain does change. People change, and we have at any age. So I think we have to get rid of some of those myths that, oh, this person is this way. We can certainly learn the skills, and the brain can be rewired. It can adapt if we teach them the skills.
You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
Habitat for Humanity of Southern Santa Barbara County is building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. Habitat has completed construction on 19 new homes for affordable homeownership. We'll build 3 new affordable homes this spring and has repaired over 35 homes through the A Brush with Kindness program. To learn more about how you can support Habitat by volunteering, donating, or shopping at the Habitat Restore, visit sbhabitat.org or call 692-2226.
In 1962, Pierre Lafond founded the first post-prohibition commercial winery in Santa Barbara County. In 1972, he planted his first vineyard in the San Ynez Valley west of Buellton and later hired legendary winemaker Bruce McGuire to continue to build on the stellar reputation that Santa Barbara Winery has achieved for more than 50 years. Today, you're invited to experience the award-winning wines at Santa Barbara Winery at the corner of Yananali and Anacapa and the Lafond Winery at 6855 Santa Rosa Road in Buellton.
The Central Coast may seem laid back, but when it's time to work, no one works harder, including the bank that's grown up here. Montecito Bank and Trust offers customized lending and banking for all businesses, big and small. It's harder than offering one-size-fits-all solutions, but it's the right thing to do. And here, getting things right is a way of life. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
Santa Barbara residents interested in a four-year degree have more than one choice. CSU Channel Islands is a four-year accredited university offering more than 30 academic programs that are interdisciplinary, multicultural, and centered on you, the student. Your professors are accessible mentors who go above and beyond to help you pursue an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate to advance your career. CSU Channel Islands is affordable and financial aid is available with campuses in Thousand Oaks and Goleta. Call CSU Channel Islands at 805-437-8520 or online at csuci.edu.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, helping teens achieve goals, surmount challenges, stop bullying, and communicate and listen effectively. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here today with Patricia Zeta, a doctor of clinical psychology and a counselor for the Santa Barbara Unified School District, specializing in suicide prevention, and Gina Carvalho, who is a director of communications for the Glendon Association and one of the original founders and current managing director of the Santa Barbara Response Network. So let me ask you this. We talk about in other shows guns and how bad guns are. And I think the statistic is most of the murders with guns is suicides.
So that's correct.
So we're talking so far in this show about the psychology and what drives people to suicide. Now let's look at the tools. Is there more likely to be a suicide if there's a gun?
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
One of the biggest things we talk about in suicide prevention is called restriction of means. A person in a suicidal crisis is in a state, often in a state where they're completely out of their conscious mind. They're completely dysregulated. And if you have access to means in that state of mind, you're more likely to commit suicide. Alcohol is a huge plays a huge factor in suicide. We worked here to help to get the suicide barriers up on the 154, where there are places that are like magnets for suicide. They're popular places. So yes, if we look at the means in a home, if we're worried about anybody who may be suicidal, please remove any means. That means protecting your guns, keeping them safe so that the bullets and the guns are separated, pills, anything that might be used to injure a person. Someone in a suicidal crisis, you have to keep them safe. And guns, yes, guns are the leading cause. Way more people die by suicide than by homicide, and mostly by guns.
And what about energy? I remember a story back in New York where a woman killed her two kids and herself after she started to take drugs for mm-hmm. depression, because all of a sudden she went from depressive to to much more functional. Isn't there this, you know, sometimes risk during a period when you're changing, that you may, in a period of heightened activity, do something that you wouldn't otherwise have the energy to do? I'm getting a real blank look here.
Yeah, well, yes. I mean, certain medications. Really, you're talking about medications. And
yeah,
when
you change medications or...
Oh, yes,
absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's why they have to be very carefully monitored, because... And there are actually warnings that this medication can lead to...
The reason I ask that is because one of the things that's happening with the proliferation of medicines...
Absolutely.
More and more doctors who are not trained in pharmacology are prescribing. And so we have, not necessarily out of meanness, but out of ignorance, they're willing to provide drugs to people, not really understanding the implications. So
yes.
I think it's guns and maybe drugs also, and incompetent doctors are a part of it.
Absolutely, and there's so many. I mean, teenagers are. I mean, if they're looking for change their state, or they see that the parents take medication. If they are having a crisis, they will seek them out. They will look in their cabinets. They will look mm-hmm. for them, not even knowing the consequences. They just say, my parents are taking, that should be good for me.
And what about violence in the home? Is that a predictor also? If someone is a victim of violence, if you're a kid and your parents beat you, is that something that could be a predictor?
Yes. So as a victim of violence in your childhood, you're more likely to use violence in your home. And that's, research has shown that there's a prevalence. If you're a victim of violence, and you will be a perpetrator of violence as well.
And what about all of the diagnoses we're seeing today for kids? ADHD, ADD, eating disorders, anxiety. Everyone's got a diagnosis for something. Are we becoming, we can't see the forest through the trees? We're diagnosing all of these, things that are impacting the child in some way, but missing a bigger picture here. And the bigger picture could be real problems with the kid, including suicide?
Yes. So my take on that is that because there are so many labels in our children, there are so many different diagnoses. I've noticed a lot of children that have been misdiagnosed or not even diagnosed with something that it's usually seen as is just behavioral, is just teenage behavior. And that can exacerbate to become something much worse when the parents ignore it and they don't really, seek something, some treatment for their children. So I noticed when I was, talking to some of these teenagers that there was something clearly there. But what do we do? We have to. What I have done in the past is they send them to their primary doctors so that the primary doctor may be able to notice something, and then of course the parents would describe the symptoms and all that, so that they can get a referral to something. But a lot of these behaviors can be presented as it is depression clearly. But not really treated.
The parents push back. If you find a child that is in need of help and the school realizes it and calls the parent in, do you ever get pushback from the parents saying, that's not, what are you telling me? My kid is fine. Because they take it personally, or they're ignorant about mental health issues. Or culturally, they're not accepting it.
Yes, I have had that happen not once. Few times where we call the parents and say, you need to have you, come in and talk about your child, and the parents like, I can't come today, or, I'll talk to the doctor about it, but they don't follow up. And I had kids that I have checked later on, and they said, no, I haven't gone. My mother never took me, or my father never took me to see whoever, a therapist, a primary doctor. They push. They do push back.
And what about telling kids or advising kids that they really need to be observant of their friends? Do kids really feel comfortable in coming forward with an observation about a friend? Do they feel they're being a rat? How do you get over that hurdle of making the kid realize you're really being a friend? You're not telling on the kid, on your friend.
Mm-hmm. I think that's really important, is breaking that silence, the code of silence. Say, well, would you rather your friend be alive and not like you, or possibly not here, dead? Mm-hmm. And it's not a popularity contest. If you're worried about your friend, it's very important. And the other thing is to teach or ask kids who they trust to talk to. They have to have a trusted adult. They can't carry it themselves. It's one thing for a friend to say, I'm thinking of killing myself. Where do you go? Where do you turn? You have to teach them and maybe identify who they can turn to themselves. But it is a big part of it.
And I guess one of the solutions would be to have an anonymous reporting system. Mm-hmm. Does that exist in this town?
Yes. They do. There is an app, actually. I know I've talked to several kids. They know about it. I can't remember the name now. But there is an app that they can anonymously report someone that needs help. And then the counselors, obviously, very discreetly, would come forward and seek those students to talk. So there is, I'm going to find out, maybe during the break.
So do you have a private practice also?
I do have.
And is it specialized in these kinds of really serious problems?
Well, my practice is very diverse. I don't see only troubled teenagers. I see a variety of cases, so it's not particularly, but I'm very involved in the current suicide prevention program where I visit the schools, not necessarily in my practice, but I see the kids at their schools and I do assessment and I talk to them. So, but of course, I do have some in my private practice.
And Gina, you're not only involved in suicide, are you? Not only, but are you?
Broader. Yeah, my time. Yeah, but I do like Patricia, do a lot of work in the schools and otherwise. And at some point in the show, it'd be good to talk about some of the resources that are available in Santa Barbara, because we're fortunate.
We will do that when we return. Yeah. You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back with our final episode.
Habitat for Humanity of Southern Santa Barbara County is building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. Habitat has completed construction on 19 new homes for affordable homeownership. We'll build 3 new affordable homes this spring and has repaired over 35 homes through the A Brush with Kindness program. To learn more about how you can support Habitat by volunteering, donating, or shopping at the Habitat Restore, visit sbhabitat.org or call 692-2226.
Celebrating 50 years of serving loyal regular guests and first-time visitors, the Pierre Lafond Market and Deli invites you to enjoy their huge selection of fresh-baked sweets, cookies, carrot cake, muffins, and the famous farm cake, granola, Oreo popcorn, wine cake, homemade soups, and the popular fresh juice bar. Or get a coffee drink or fresh-squeezed juice and peruse the famous wall of greeting cards at the Pierre Lafond Market and Deli. Open 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily in the Plaza del Sol, Montecito Village.
What's that?
This? The newest online business banking around.
Can you initiate wires and approve transfers?
Yes.
Pay bills?
Check.
Cash management?
Of course.
All business, all online, all on your phone.
You bet. My computer, too. It's Montecito Bank and Trust's new business online banking. It works as hard as I do.
Huh. Montecito Bank and Trust.
You got it. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
Santa Barbara residents interested in a four-year degree have more than one choice. CSU Channel Islands is a four-year accredited university offering more than 30 academic programs that are interdisciplinary, multicultural, and centered on you, the student. Your professors are accessible mentors who go above and beyond to help you pursue an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate to advance your career. Programs and workshops in classroom, online, with campuses in Thousand Oaks and Goleta. Call CSU Channel Islands at 805-437-8520 or online at csuci.edu.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, helping teens manage their emotions, support their peers, and serve their community.
I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here today with Patricia Zeta, Doctor of Clinical Psychology, and a suicide prevention therapist at the Unified School District, and also in private practice. I'm working out a schedule so I can see her. Now you've become even more normal than I am now. And Gina Carvalho, who is Director of Communications for the Glendon Association, one of the original founders and the current managing director of the Santa Barbara Research Network. And there are many resources in Santa Barbara. So tell us about some of those other resources.
Yeah, they're for families that are wanting some help, or if they feel that their child may be at imminent risk, or anybody who is, we do have a safety team, which is a crisis team that can go out and be mobilized 24 hours a day. I can say that number on the air.
Yes, absolutely.
And safety is spelled S-A-F-T-Y, and it's 888-334-2777. That's 888-334-2777. We have also a lot of counseling agencies like New Beginnings, like Family Service Agency, Council on Drug and Alcoholism. There are also, which offers teen groups and ways for teens to empower themselves. All of these services, I'm really pleased to be one of the organizers of the Suicide Prevention Walk, which is happening September 9th at Leadbetter Beach at 9 a.m. And I have an extensive resource fair for anyone who wants to see the mental health services in Santa Barbara. The walk is honoring anyone who's lost someone to suicide, and it brings people together who have shared that loss. It's a very empowering and beautiful walk. We have music and raffles, and it's an empowerment, a sense of empowerment. So I invite everyone to join us, and they can get information at afsp.org, which is the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention.
And are the kids in the high schools aware of this as well? I mean, one of the things you do when you go into the schools is you tell them about resources beyond the school?
Absolutely, yes. I have a brochure with everything that the kids should know about, where to seek help, different resources, free resources in the community. So I do provide that. And the app that I was talking about to help teenagers report anonymously any at-risk teenagers or, teenagers with behavior, suspicious behaviors it's called Stop It. And it's an anonymous app that the kids just can say the name of the student that they think needs some help, and the counselors or the school will come in and reach out to them.
Is this just Santa Barbara, or this is the whole country?
I'm not quite sure.
Okay.
I don't know.
The one that's also is there's a crisis text line. Kids text. They don't email anymore, and that's 741-741. They just text 741-741 and then just put the word hello or connect, and that's around the country, and it's been very effective, and that's another thing teens can do.
Are you recommending that I text my kid and he'll probably respond as opposed to my emails that go unresponded
to? That's right, text them.
Texting is
a better thing to do.
Yes.
You'll get a response.
Immediately.
Yeah. So I kept saying you work in the high schools. Do you work for junior high schools as well?
I work with junior high schools as well, and I do assessment for teenagers there. And I think that we will continue doing this, reaching out through now with the Mindful Heart programs, doing this work of bringing mindfulness and compassion to the schools and hopefully the junior high schools too. The first school that we're working with is the Santa Barbara High School, which was the one that we found that needed the most at the moment. And with that program, we're going to introduce a lot of help to help these children learn compassion, self-compassion, and learn interpersonal skills, awareness of the self-care, and some cognitive abilities. So it will be a great program. Yeah.
Well, it sounds terrific. Thank you so much, Patricia and Gina, for being here and for all you do. Thank you for listening. You've been listening to AHA Presents About Education, and we'll see you next week.
It's